you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're going to study the birth and death of a Messiah. If our lesson had a theme, it would be to ask the question, is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Does he fit the prophecies in the Old Testament that reveals important facts about the coming Messiah? Isaiah prophesied that a Messiah would be born who would set up a kingdom that would never end. That's in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, Isaiah says. Now there are approximately 60 prophecies and more than 300 references in the Old Testament that foretells a Messiah who will be born in Israel. We'll not be able to cover all the different prophecies, but we will only discuss the scriptures that identifies where he will be born and if he would die as an ordinary man would die. Micah 5:2 and Malachi 2:7 tells us he would be born in Bethlehem. Luke 2:11 calls Bethlehem a city of David. So it would be a fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah said about the throne of David. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In Matthew 17:22-23, Jesus foretells his death and resurrection to his disciples. He spoke very plainly to them when he said, verse 22, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them," meaning the disciples, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. The disciples were sorrowful whenever they realized what Jesus was saying, that someone was going to assassinate him, but he would be raised again the third day. Now apparently that last part of his prophecy of himself, they soon forgot that he would be raised the third day, because when Jesus was brought before Pilate and at the crucifixion, they all fled. They did not stay around to see or believe, nor were they strong in faith. They became frightened and were hidden behind a closed locked door. After he died, they forgot he said that after 3 days he would raise from the dead. In earlier verses, Jesus had used parables and mysterious allegories to warn them of his impending death and resurrection. For example, he told them in one verse, "I'm going away, and where I'm going, you cannot come." In John 16:15, he says, "A little while, and you shall see me. And again, a little while, and you shall not see me, because I go to the Father." He's speaking of the resurrection there. He said, you will seek to find me, but you won't find me. He said, you cannot follow me now, but you know the way to follow me. But Peter said, how do we know the way, Lord? We don't know where you're going. So it was mysterious the way that Jesus talked to his disciples, and they couldn't understand that he was speaking of his death and his resurrection. They knew that he fit the description described in Isaiah, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would bring liberty to his nation, and that he would set up a kingdom that would be forever. And at this time, the Jews were not a nation, and they wanted to be free from the Roman rule. So they looked to Jesus as a savior on this physical earth more than they did in spiritual terms. But Jesus was speaking in spiritual terms. And in their mind, a Messiah would not die as other men. But Jesus told them plainly in these earlier scriptures of Matthew 17:21 and 23 that the Son of Man would be killed and he was going to die. But after 3 days, he would be raised from the dead. That quote from Jesus to his disciples must have been haunting words to them after he was killed. He also spoke in other scriptures of being glorified in his death and bringing forth much glory to the Father by his death. Now we get a glimpse of what glorified means in another part of Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, where it speaks about the transfiguration of Jesus. Let me read you these scriptures, Matthew 17, 1 through 9. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, who is Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. But when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So there he speaks again about being raised from the dead. Now in these scriptures, the disciples are witnessing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. They didn't realize that he was speaking about himself at that very moment because they had just witnessed the resurrection power of Jesus in a glorious body as he talked with Moses and Elijah. And God was listening in on the conversation, and he told Peter to be quiet about the tabernacles and listen to his Son. This is phenomenal, that this babe born in a manger is communing on a mountaintop with a man who has been dead for thousands of years, Moses, and Elijah, who was translated into heaven hundreds of years before, and God, his Father. They saw before their eyes a metamorphosis of the body of Jesus, as the body of a caterpillar becomes the body of a butterfly. Moses and Elijah were in heavenly bodies, but Jesus was also in a heavenly body, even though he had not died nor was translated into heaven. He is the resurrection. He's the Messiah, and he is the resurrection. And in these scriptures, it says that the face of Jesus shined as the sun. At that time, there was no light on the face of the earth that could give forth that kind of light. The power now of a nuclear bomb could bring forth much power and light. But the kind of light that Jesus had on his face was as the sun. When there is a solar eclipse, scientists warn not to look directly at the sun, or we could be blinded. We can only imagine how bright this light was that was coming from the face of Jesus. Even his clothes were white as the light of a lightning bolt. So something clearly happened to the body of Jesus in this transformation. His body was transformed into a different body. And this event showed the great power of Jesus Christ upon the earth even before he was raised from the dead. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is darkness. There is no light in those works. But Jesus said he came to heal the sick and to set the captives free. He is the light of the world. In this account of the transfiguration of Jesus, we see the power of Jesus Christ in his resurrection. In contrast, we see the lack of power in the disciples in this same chapter of Matthew 17. In verses 14 through 21, it says, "A certain man came to Jesus and asked him to heal his son who was possessed by the devil. He told Jesus that the disciples had prayed for him, but they could not cure him. Jesus rebuked the disciples for not having enough faith, and then he rebuked the devil from the child, and he was cured from that very hour." Well, later, the disciples asked him why they were not able to cast out the devil, since they had been given power over sickness and the works of the devil. But Jesus told them that this kind of stronghold of the devil could not be cast out except by prayer and fasting. So he was telling the disciples, you must seek the power of Christ through your submission to him, because he has the resurrection power. We do not have it of our own. He says in verse 20 that if you will do these things, nothing shall be impossible unto you. He tells them in other verses that he gives us his power. He gives us his power to overcome, to be victorious in this life. And it's not his will that we remain in this dilemma. Many believe that the Lord wants wimpy Christians, but he doesn't want Christians who are not working in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Only then will we be victorious. We must be born again and have His power in our soul to have the power of Jesus Christ. Now, the theme of our lesson today is Jesus the Messiah, or do we look for another? That was the question that John the Baptist asked when he was in prison. Now you remember that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and he recognized immediately that he was the Messiah. He heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my son. Hear him." But at this time that he asked this question, John the Baptist is in prison. And he wonders why Jesus has not come to rescue him. Jesus had been preaching for a good while. He was healing the sick, opening blind eyes. And John said, "What about me, Lord? Are you really the Messiah? If you are, why don't you help me get out of this prison?" So John sends a messenger to Jesus and asked him in Matthew 11:3, John asked, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answers him in verses 4-6. He told the messenger, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Jesus was speaking of his power to perform miracles that proved he was the Christ. He tells John to look at the power of God in his life as to whether he was the Messiah or not. He was saying, "Don't look at your circumstance, John, but look at the power that is in my life to raise you from the dead." We could say the same thing today. Those who have found the Lord after being in great bondage, they can testify to the power of Christ, that it has set them free from bondages. He still has the same resurrection power to heal today. I was listening to a Jewish talk show this week on the Jewish television channel. The host of the talk show was a Jew, and he may or may not have believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But he brought in guests to show different points of view concerning the Bible. He had as his guest a young Jewish man who was relating his experiences of studying at the best universities in Jerusalem. He lived just a block away from the Wailing Wall, and how he had such a zeal to understand the Bible. The young man had attended the most prestigious Jewish university in Israel to study the Old Testament. He wanted to understand his Jewish heritage. He was from a Jewish family that observed Jewish traditions, but they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. The host asked him if he was studying to be a rabbi. He said no, he considered himself to be a teacher, and he had devoted his life to understanding the old scriptures about the Messiah. And he said that he had discovered that all of the prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament foretold that the Messiah would come to earth as a man and would die. And he concluded that Jesus fit that description of the Messiah. Now I found it strange that it was the death of Jesus that convinced him that he was the Messiah. I would have thought the other acts of Jesus, of healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, would convince him. But he didn't read maybe the New Testament. All he could see was what the Old Testament said, that the Messiah would die, and that the history had shown him that Jesus fit that description. He didn't really need the New Testament to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, which was so astounding to me. He didn't say he studied the New Testament, but he concluded that Jesus was the Messiah strictly based on these prophecies in the Old Testament and the history of the death of Jesus in secular literature like Josephus, that he concluded that Jesus was the Messiah. The host asked him if he could be considered to be a Messianic Jew. He said that he believed he was, and that there were now 50 congregations in Israel that believed Jesus is the Messiah. The number of congregations in Israel of Jews that believe in Jesus is growing. We know that Jesus was born in a manger. Wise men came to worship him. Angels proclaimed that he was the Son of God, yet he was born to die for the sins of all men. And in spite of all this information, it was his death that proved to this Jewish man that Jesus was the Messiah. He understood more than many Christians do that the Messiah must die for the sins of all of us. The young man did not go into detail about the resurrection. He said he didn't understand any of the details about Jesus, except that he fit the description of the Messiah because he died. And he claimed to have died for the sins of all mankind. Strange, isn't it, that at Christmas time we celebrate his birth? Death is not in the picture. But to this Jewish brother, it was his death that showed his power to be the Messiah. It takes the Son of God to die for the sins of the people. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, he didn't appear to the disciples in a transformed body as he had in the transfiguration on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. When the disciples saw him, they thought he was a spirit because he came into the room where they were gathered when the door was locked. He had to be in the room by going through the walls, and so they were afraid. But when they saw Jesus, he looked like an ordinary man. It doesn't say that a light as the sun was shining from his face, as in the transfiguration, nor does it mention that his clothing was as white as a bolt of lightning. Thomas was not in the room when Jesus appeared to the disciples. So when the disciples told Thomas that Jesus has risen from the dead, he didn't believe it. Perhaps he was expecting Jesus to be in that transfigured body. And in John 20:24-25, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except that I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Have you noticed that Thomas was expecting the hands of Jesus to be healed with only scars visible, because he would not want to put his hand in an open bloody wound, wouldn't you think? Thomas knew that the hands of Jesus had been nailed to the cross and that his side had been pierced by the soldier. He wanted to see the scars of Jesus. Now, these scriptures about Thomas does not mention the word scar. I've not been able to find a scripture that said that Jesus' hands were scars. But we know that Jesus had no blood in his resurrected body. He was flesh and bones, as he told the disciples. And so Thomas, regardless of what he expected, he wanted to see the wounds of Jesus, or he wanted to see the scars. He wanted to feel for himself that this was the crucified Christ. Thomas was not expecting Jesus to die, and he was probably disappointed that he did. But this young Jewish man was excited because he believed that Jesus was the Messiah because he died, as the scriptures in the Old Testament had predicted that he would do. What a contrast and difference was Thomas's attitude to the death of Jesus compared to the young Jewish man. So on this Christmas day, let us celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Messiah. But let us also celebrate his death and resurrection. For in it we have eternal life. And we trust in you, Heavenly Father, and give you praise for your Son, our Messiah. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.